Hello, everyone. The phone rang just as it was time for me to take the mic. So, and it was someone that I knew needed to talk to me. So I just answered the phone quickly and said, I'm just now taking the mic. I can't talk. So that was the delay in grabbing the mic. But it's good to see you all. We are here now for the Guiding Light. And my name is Regina. And during the Guiding Light, by the way, last night I had dinner with a couple of friends and they didn't know about the Guiding Light. So I was telling them about it. And I realized as I was telling them about it, this kind of is like a soap opera. Remember in the beginning we were joking about the name, the Guiding Light. But you know, it continues. And in fact, this is the only teaching that I do where I start each teaching with like a review of last week. Because it's a continuation. So it is like a, like kind of like a soap opera where a soap opera continues from show to show to show. But last week on the Guiding Light, we looked at the interpretation of a couple of different popular stories. One was the popular story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And the other was the popular story about Jesus walking on the water. And we saw the interpretation that when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, that he was really offering them access to the inner food, the daily bread that never runs out, by teaching them to meditate, which is something that was new to them. And we saw that when Jesus was walking on water, that was really a symbol that clarity is always here, even during our biggest ego storms, but that we don't always recognize clarity because we have defined the problem and we're looking for a specific type of answer. And so we don't recognize the true answer, the answer that comes from spirit. But it is always here and it's available if we just learn to have the eyes that see. And then I began reading a new story and we stopped right in the middle. This story is called Jesus is the Bread of Life. And in this story, the people that he had fed the day before, the 5,000, or at least some of those 5,000, went looking for him the next day, and they got in their boats, and they crossed the Sea of Galilee, and they found Jesus. And they thought they were interested in him because of the miracles that they had heard he had performed, the healings and things. Now remember, these are the same people that he had taken into meditation the day before. And so Jesus says to them, you aren't really interested in me because of my miracles. He says to them that you are seeking that food that never spoils, that food that endures to eternal life. That's why you came looking for me. That's what you're looking for. And they were like, you mean, you know, like when Moses gave our forefathers, you know, manna from heaven. And he says, that didn't come from Moses. That came from God. That came from God. And the bread of God is in you. Let me just see if this is related. I think that's the wrong number. The bread of God is in you. And that's where we kind of left off last week. So I will be continuing from there and we'll continue to read the story, Jesus as the Bread of Life. Once we have a little song, just to get centered. And the song that has jumped out at me today is by the Beatles. It is called Let It Be.
And when the broken heart
actually, as I was listening to that song, it was reminding me of the story that we looked at last week of Jesus walking on the water. It reminded me of that story. So the fifth Beatle, Regina, yeah. Yeah, I like that song. All right, so I'm going to begin reading today at John chapter 6, starting at verse 32. Jesus said to them, and again, these are the people who crossed over the Sea of Galilee looking for Jesus because he had taught them to meditate the day before. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So if we look back at John chapter 1, the very first paragraph of John, we remember that we saw a formula there for divine law. We saw that life, or you could call it light, life plus an idea equals manifestation. And what we've been looking at through this entire reading of John is that formula is always true. That's why it's called divine law. That's how manifestation comes into being. And of course, we know that now that when wrong-minded ideas are fed into that formula, wrong-minded appearances manifest. But we also know that when right-minded ideas, or even stillness, like the stillness that we contemplate or realize while in meditation, when right-minded ideas or stillness are fed into that same formula, grace is manifested. And so Jesus is saying that the true bread from heaven comes from his Father. And by his Father, often in the book of John, he's really referring to that divine law. He says that the true bread from heaven comes from his Father. And that it comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And remember, we saw that life and death in the book of John, death refers to those who are living unconsciously believing their mind. Life refers to those who are awakened to the truth. So grace, like manna, grace comes down from heaven and awakens us to truth. And that is the true bread of life. And so sentence 34, "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So, I know from my own experience that when I teach, I don't teach as Regina. And there have been times when I've been teaching when I have heard myself say things the observing mind that is watching the teaching, because the mind is out of the way, but it can still have thoughts about the teaching. So the observing mind that is aware of the teaching has these thoughts like, "Oh my gosh, what if they think I'm talking about me, Regina? while these words are coming through my mouth, you can get into a place when you're teaching where the inspiration is coming through you, and the personality has nothing to do with what's being said. And in fact, the strongest words that come during teaching come from that authority that is not the person. But people who aren't familiar with this energy themselves tend to mistake the words and the body that they hear the words coming out of so that they think that person is actually speaking the words. And that's obviously what has happened with Jesus. Jesus is speaking from this strong inspiration. And then people have confused the words to be his. So when he says, "I am the bread of life," that is not a man named Jesus speaking, a man who was born in Nazareth. That is that inspiration, that strong inspiration that comes through the empty shell. And that inspiration is only speaking truth. I am the bread of life. Right? He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And again, of course, not referring to physical hunger or physical thirst, but spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. That as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. These are the words speaking. The inspiration speaking. You have seen me. You have heard me, right? You can't put these words to the body. And still you don't believe in me. All that the Father gives me. Now this feels like this is a shift back to some consciousness now of the Jesus person. All that the Father gives me will come to me. As it just has, right? I mean, just now, these words that just passed through were automatic. And the Father gives me these words because I'm open to them. But all that the Father gives me, right? And whoever comes to me because of these words, I will never drive away. So Jesus is speaking to crowds of people. And in these crowds of people, you have all kinds of people. You have probably people who judge themselves to be worthy members of society, I'll say. And you have people who judge themselves not to be worthy members of society, right? You have probably some rabbis and Jewish teachers listening. You have people listening who have stolen, who have physically attacked others. You have men listening who beat their wives. You have parents listening who beat their children. And you have loving families listening. I mean, you have anything that you can imagine in the population. They are listening. And Jesus is saying these words are for all of you. These words are for all of you. When inspiration speaks and says, "He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never go thirsty." inspiration is not saying this to those of you who are, quote, good. Or for those of you who, you know, wear the rabbi outfit. This is for all of you, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Now when Jesus says, I have come down from heaven, that's a symbol of the awakened mind. And the awakened mind does not have a will of its own. I often think of the awakened mind as being like a tumbleweed, because we have lots of tumbleweeds around here. The person who is not yet awake is like the tumbleweed in the summertime, when actually the tumbleweed has some roots and the wind blows and it's not yet a tumbleweed. It's just a weed and it stays there. But then as the weed dies in the fall and then the winds come in the winter, it blows those tumbleweeds just wherever. Wherever the wind blows, the tumbleweeds go. And the awakened mind is like the tumbleweed. The awakened mind doesn't have the thought, I want to be a teacher. And the awakened mind doesn't have the thought, I don't want to be a teacher. The awakened mind doesn't have the thought, I want to be around this type of people. You know, for example, only like-minded people. I want to be around this type of people. The awakened mind will be around anyone. Whoever comes to me, these words that come to me are shared for you. They're for all of you. I'll never drive anyone away. I have no will of my own. I don't pick and choose who comes to me or who hears this message. I have no will of my own. It's the will of my Father, which we can call the will of grace. Grace is coming through. And since I have no desire to block grace, it's just going to come through unfiltered. Unfiltered grace. And it's forever who comes to hear. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And listen to this last part. This is really beautiful. And again, remember, you know, sometimes it's fun to pretend a little. Pretend like you're the shady character in the crowd. Like you know what you've done. you take advantage of every person that crosses your path, all you're interested in you, right? You know what you've done. So pretend like you're that guy or that girl for a moment. Right? And listen to these words. In fact, imagine that here you are, you're that person, right? And Jesus' eyes actually land on you and lock with you as he says these words. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone. And here you are, you're sitting here, you are the one, Dolores is saying she doesn't have to pretend. Yeah, probably many of us know what we've done, right? So you are the one who, you know what you've done. And your mind is telling you, you aren't deserving of anything that people would call glorious or heavenly or holy. And Jesus' eyes lock with you. Right there, you. And he says, everyone. Everyone is to realize this truth. Everyone will be raised up to this state of mind of awakening, this state of mind that we call heaven. It is my Father's will that none be lost, no one be left out. And he's looking right at you. This is an incredible, loving message. And there was no one there that day, regardless of their situation in life, that was left out of that message. Yeah, you are so beautiful to me. Yeah, from Sunday night when we were listening to Joe Cocker. The story continues. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Right? When he says, "I came down from heaven," he's speaking of the clarity of the awakened mind, of things they can't understand when they look at the body and they see this son of Joseph. In fact, in other parts of the Bible, there's a story, I believe in Mark. Let's see if I can find it quickly. If not, I'll just tell it. But I love to read things rather than just tell them, because, you know, sometimes my mind isn't perfect about the details, because you know how minds remember things wrong. And so if I can just read the story, then it's a little clearer. But I'm not always good at finding things quickly. So sometimes I have to just tell the story. Yeah, I think this is one of those times I'm just going to have to tell the story. but we all know this story to some degree. Actually, let me look in Luke first. Another place to look is popping in my mind, so let me just follow that before I give up. Early Luke, probably around Luke 2 or 3. Yeah, right here, Luke 4, actually, but I did find it in early Luke. So here's the story. This story is called Jesus Rejected at Nazareth. It's at Luke 4:14 is where it starts. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. This is after, in this portion of the story, this is right after his baptism and after his 40 days and nights in the desert. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Now, when this says everyone praised him, this means that people recognized his clarity. That's what it means. When he came down from his 40 days and 40 nights in the desert and began speaking, people recognized clarity. He went to Nazareth, and of course, remember, Nazareth is his hometown. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. but then, and I added the but then, isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. So you see, at first they were listening to the clarity. They were seeing the clarity, and then the thought crossed their minds, wait a minute, we know this guy. We know who this is. Isn't this Joseph's son? Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. So this story continues, but I won't continue with the story. But the idea is, the more you think you know the person, the less you are able to hear the inspiration that comes through that person. You know, there's this idea, I know who you are, but in the I know who you are, you're thinking of the personality, which actually means you don't know. You don't know who that person is. But people who don't know the personality are more open to just the clarity. They're not blocked by the idea, I know who you are. So, this is happening again. I'm going back now to John chapter 41. At this, the Jews, and whenever it says the Jews, it's really referring to the rabbis, the teachers of the law. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Right? So now they're not listening to the inspiration as inspiration. They're looking at the person as a mere person, a mere personality, and saying he cannot be what he claims to be. If you listen to the inspiration as inspiration, and you do not connect it with a person, especially if you don't connect it to a person that you think you know, right? The words are beautiful. The words are saying, everyone who comes to me will never thirst again. Regardless of who you are, I will raise you up. I will teach you from within inside. You will see differently. You will know yourself differently. You will know the world differently. You will awaken. And there is no one here that is to be left out of that. That's a beautiful, beautiful message. And anyone who is willing to just hear the words will say, as coming from God, you know, you just have to go, ah, oh, even me. You know, how beautiful is that? Even me. Those words are speaking even to me. But then when you look at the person, you go, wait a minute, this is just, you know, so-and-so. I've known him all my life. He's just making up now that he's something holy, and he's not. I've known him all my life. You know, then the words fall flat. So you see what an ego trick that is, to associate the words with the body? And another thing that can happen, and I'm sure you all are aware of this, but let's pick someone in your mind, a spiritual teacher that you really have a lot of respect for. And that teacher seems like a lot of clarity comes through that person for you. Now imagine that something happens where you get to live in close proximity to that person. And you begin to get to know that person as a person. And then one day you're with this person that you've come to know as a person, and you hear that person speaking inspiration. But now, because you know the person as a person, something shifted in you, and there's little thoughts going on like, yeah, I saw what she did last night, or I saw what he said to so-and-so. And suddenly, you know, you're thinking, that stuff's not true. It's not as true as this person makes it sound when they're speaking. You see, what's happening is confusion. Confusion between the body personality and the inspiration. And we need to learn to recognize inspiration as coming from formless grace and then coming through the body that is open to allow it to speak, right? Because as soon as we start confusing the person with the inspiration, the ego's got us, and we're not going to listen to the inspiration as deeply. This goes for every body you will ever hear speak inspiration. It says in NTI Hebrews that the reason we listen to Jesus is because he's not here physically. He's not somebody we can get to know as a person. And so therefore we can't have that person confusion. And it says if he was here, we would judge him too. You know, we would put that person confusion on him and we would judge him too. So the fact that he's not here as a person, we don't get that person confusion and we listen more clearly. But who is here as a person that has great clarity that we have already mixed up that person confusion? And are we willing to let go of that person confusion so we don't blind ourselves as these teachers of the law are about to do to themselves? One game I used to play to really help me break the confusion of inspiration and person, and I played this game in Facebook. But whenever anybody wrote something, not when they were quoting somebody else, but when they were writing something directly that was coming directly through them, whenever anybody wrote something that was clear, I would say, there it is again. This is what I would say to myself. There it is again. And there were even people that I know, and that I know some of the things they've done, right? I know. And yet they would write the clarity. I go, there it is again. And I did this, I think I did this for a year. There it is again. There it is again. And I trained myself to see clarity without linking it to a body. There it is again. There it is again. There it is again. One voice that can come through anyone, when they empty themselves out. And maybe there are people who only empty themselves out, occasionally. And so a lot of the time, there's this confusions thing going on. They're acting from ego. But then every now and then they become empty and clarity comes through. That's still perfect clarity. The fact that they don't empty themselves out often does not degrade the clarity. When the clarity comes through, the clarity is perfect, and the person cannot affect it. Don't we say that God is not affected by form? The changeless is not affected by manifestation? Clarity is not affected by a person who doesn't happen to be empty all the time. But again, as soon as we bring that person in, and we think this clarity is coming from that person, we enter into that person confusion, and then the best clarity in the world could come to that person, we're going to blow it off because it's coming from so-and-so, and I know him, or so-and-so, and I know her. Now Jesus says to them, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So this is like saying, I'll put it in different words. Okay, so now pretend like you're the grumbling Jewish teachers and rabbis. Oh, we know this guy, Go ahead and be the grumblers for a moment, and I'm going to speak to you in a different words. And here's what he's saying. No, listen to me. Listen to me. If you hear these words, you are ready for awakening. You couldn't be here listening if you weren't ready. That's a very beautiful message. You couldn't be here. You couldn't be hearing these words if you weren't ready. Don't Don't get caught up in the confusion that you're about to get caught up in by grumbling to one another. Listen, this is a beautiful message. This is good news for everyone, and no one is left out. And I'm not putting myself above anyone. I'm not saying I'm better than anyone. I'm not saying I'm more holy than anyone. I'm saying this is for all of us equally. It's a beautiful message. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, that's saying this clarity will dawn upon every mind. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. And again, not the body speaking. Because when I, Regina Dawn Akers, go to this me that is speaking here, I'm sitting over there on the sofa, physically alone, right? So it's not talking about the body. Everyone will come to me. Everyone will come to this clarity, to this wisdom, to this grace. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. And only he has seen the Father. Now what this is referring to I'm looking for words right now. What this is referring to is the heart. I'll call it the heart. The heart. The thinking mind, the judging mind, the analyzing mind cannot know God. But the heart can. And so when the heart is touched by something we read, by something we hear, or by a thought that comes into the mind. And we go and we take that quiet time because we've been touched, we've been inspired. Then we can know God, we can hear God. But we can't hear God if we're standing here grumbling. I think I know who that is. Do you remember when he was in third grade? Isn't he the one that pulled so-and-so's pigtails and made her cry? You know, you can't hear God when you're there. You can't know God from that mind. You have to shift into the heart to see God. So everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God, the heart. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. He who trusts this, he who's listening, he who is listening with the heart, is on that path already to realizing who you are. And that, of course, is everlasting life. That is what you are. He says, I am the bread of life. Again, meaning these words, this message, this inspiration, this spirit. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So what he is saying here is, again, from the inspiration, the clarity, right? I am that living bread. Anyone who eats this living bread, anyone who goes into meditation, like I taught you yesterday, spends time listening within, looking within, inquiring within, will awaken to the truth. And that is everlasting life. And then he says, this bread is my flesh. What does he mean by that? He means, I give I give myself, my personality, my mind, my everything. I give it all to this clarity. I am the tumbleweed. I am the servant. I am surrendered. I have no more need for Jesus. This boy that you speak of, right? This boy that pulls so-and-so's pigtails in third grade. I have no more need for Jesus. All I want is spirit, truth. And I, even the body, I am moved by it. And I give my entire life to whatever it asks of me. Without restriction. I don't say to it, okay, but please make sure I have enough money. Or okay, I'll do whatever you want as long as I can have a family. Or I'll do whatever you want, you know, ... I don't do that, Jesus says. I have given even my flesh to this, and I give it for everyone. And whatever this life appears to be, this Jesus life that you think you're looking at, whatever this appears to be, it's what the inspiration is moving it to do. There is no me with a personal will that is trying to live out a particular type of life. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So you see, they didn't hear. They didn't hear. He's saying, I'm surrendered. I'm here. I'm saying whatever the inspiration wants me to say. I'm going wherever the inspiration wants me to go. I have no will. I am your servant, right? Because the inspiration is serving you, right? I am your servant. And they're like, and they're just immediately there with the arguing mind, immediately there with the rebellious mind, immediately there with the ego mind. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, what he means by this, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, what he means is, devour this message wholeheartedly. Take this message in completely. Let it fill up every cell of your body. Because if you do that, if you devour this message completely, your life is going to change today. You're going to start receiving your own direct inspiration, and it's going to start leading you down a path that you have never even imagined. And it's going to take you to a place or a state that you cannot imagine. But you can't take a little bite of this message and then just go back to your way of being, your conditioning, your habits, your beliefs. You have to devour this message wholeheartedly. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, you take this message in wholeheartedly. You want nothing but what inspiration would give you, and you will awaken. Because the only thing that keeps you from awakening to the truth is wanting something else. Anything else. But if you want something other than truth, you get other than truth. That's what you get. But if you only want truth with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, all of your strength, if you only want truth, then truth is what you get. Truth is what you realize. Awakening is what will come. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Again, being very symbolic here, but it's the same symbology we saw him use with the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, when he offered her living water, right? It's the same symbolism that we've seen him use earlier in this same discussion. When he says, I am the bread of life, right? And What were those exact words? Let's see. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Right? So it's the same type of symbolism again. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. You will never go hungry. You will never go thirsty. You will be filled completely. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. You take this message in completely. You allow that inspiration in. You allow that grace in. And you are the same as me because that's all that I'm doing. All that I am doing is taking this inspiration in completely. I am living the words that I'm speaking. I live these words because I love this truth. And if you love this truth, you will also live these words because we live what we love. And you will be the same as me. And I and you in me. No separation, no difference. And again, they're still thinking that Jesus is trying to put themselves above them. You know, here they are. They're the ones in the uniform of rabbi and teacher of the law. And, you know, Jesus is just in a commoner robe. And yet they have the idea that he's trying to put himself above them, say he's holier than them. And Jesus is saying back, no, that is not what I am saying. The only difference between you and me is that I have taken in the message. I've taken it wholly. I live it with my whole heart. All of my strength. My entire mind is focused on this. And if you do that, you will be the same as me. Right? There's no, and not only that, but every day, someday, at some point, everyone will accept this message and that. It's inevitable. The only question we could say is when. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So just as grace sent me here to speak these words today. And by the way, the only reason I'm as awake as I am is because I listened to grace when it came to me. You know, grace came to me, I listened, and then grace sent me here. And you can also listen. You have the same opportunity, right? Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. So I heard grace. I listened. I took it in. From the first time I heard it, you know, who knows? You know, let's just make up a story because nobody really knows. We make up stories all the time about Jesus' life. So let's make up a new story. Let's imagine that Jesus is around 11 years old. And he's playing outside in Nazareth, and some merchants come through town. I'm told that Nazareth was on a road where merchants would have passed through. I don't know if it's true, but we'll go with it. And some merchants come through town. And one of these merchants happens to be kind of a mystic merchant, right? He's doing his job as a merchant, but he also contemplates truth. Let's make him let's go ahead and make him Hindu. We can't make him Muslim because they didn't exist yet. So we'll make him a Hindu. He's a merchant and he contemplates Shiva, right? And Jesus comes over, is kind of interested in the things he has, and he shares a little message with Jesus. He says something. And Jesus, he hears that. But he doesn't just hear it with his ears. He hears it with his heart. And Jesus goes back and begins to contemplate. He goes to the synagogue in Nazareth on Sundays and he hears the words, but he starts contemplating them from within and he starts getting more and more clarity, so much so that by the time he's 12, he's in Jerusalem talking to other teachers of the law, but amazing them with his clarity of the scriptures. And this all happened, again, we're making up a story, but it's worth listening to. This all happened because when a traveling mystic merchant passed through Nazareth with a little message, he listened with the heart. Jesus is saying that's all it takes. Listen with the heart. Grace came to me. I listened. That's how I became the one here that now grace is speaking through. But if you listen, like I listened, you devour the message, like I devour the message, then grace will also speak through you. This is for everyone. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. You see, it's not just through this body. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It's like that exercise I played on Facebook. There it is. There it is. There it is. It can come from anybody. Anybody that opens to it and devours it. You know, you open up to this bread, you devour this bread, then the bread comes through you and feeds others. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And that starts another new story, and we only have 5 minutes left, so I don't know that I should move on. But then I don't know that I shouldn't either. I will tell you what I will do. I will read the story, and we'll see what happens in 5 minutes. So here's the story. The story is called Many Disciples Desert Jesus. And it's not talking about apple pie. They left him. Many disciples desert Jesus. On hearing it, hearing these words that we just discussed, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" They must not have heard what I heard. I didn't hear a hard teaching. I heard a beautiful promise. I heard, go within, contemplate these words. It's like eating a seed, and a large plant, as large as the mustard flower, which I've seen. They grow very, very tall. I hiked among them in Israel. As large as the mustard plant is going to grow in you, and that plant is the kingdom of heaven. This is what I heard Jesus say. This is not a hard message. Go home, contemplate this. But they didn't hear with the heart. They heard with the head, and they've got a man telling them to eat him. Cannibalism. How gross. This guy's crazy. He's sick. You see, you listen to the literal words. This is a hard message. You listen with the mind. There's nothing beautiful here. Gross. Gross. I'm out of here. God, this guy's crazy. I had no idea how crazy he was. But you listen with the heart. And you hear, go home. Go within. Devour this message as fully as you can. Night and day, contemplate God. And your eyes will be opened. So you see, it's all in the hearing. What are we listening with? Remember, Jesus used to always say, for those who have ears to hear. Right? What are we listening with? So on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. He's basically telling them, do not confuse the body with the words. Right? The flesh is nothing. Do not confuse the body with the words. Listen with your hearts. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." And the little comment in the middle, where it says Jesus knew they wouldn't last, my mind says, don't pay attention to that. Jesus's only way of seeing was that everyone will listen, everyone will hear, everyone will awaken. And so again, what my interpretation, what my mind is saying is that as they were walking away, Jesus was saying, you are ready for this. You know, and he's saying, he's not begging them to come back. He's just reminding them as they walk away that even the little bit they heard, that's the seed that's going to grow into the mustard plant, which is the kingdom of God. They've already swallowed the seed. They came and they heard enough for now. You know, like many of us maybe with A Course in Miracles, right? I read a small portion of A Course in Miracles and then gave up back in 93. And then in 2004, something prompted me to begin reading it again, and I devoured it. So the fact that I walked away in 93 is unimportant. I had eaten enough for the seed to begin to blossom. And this is what I hear Jesus saying to them as they're walking away. You couldn't have been here if you weren't supposed to be. He sees them as blessed to have heard the message at all, even as they're walking away. There's no sense of rejection. He doesn't feel rejected or anything like that. He knows that they've eaten. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12, the few remaining confused men around him. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil, this says. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who through one of the 12 was later to betray him. And again, my mind just ignores that, just like my mind ignored the previous one. You know, the idea that Jesus could have judged anyone as not worthy does not make sense with the rest of what is being said. So I go with the rest of what is being said. Everyone is worthy. Everyone is eating. Everyone will awaken. And there's no other message.